And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
For a while now, the main contribution of some of my friends on this side of the aisle have made in the fight against ISIL is to criticize this administration and me for not using the phrase radical Islam. That's the key, they tell us. We can't beat ISIL unless we call them radical Islamists. What exactly would using this label accomplish? What exactly would it change? Would it make ISIL less committed to trying to kill Americans? Would it bring in more allies? Is there a military strategy that is served by this? The answer is none of the above. Calling a threat by a different name does not make it go away. This is a political distraction.
Once again, the psycho in the White House is projecting exactly what he's doing because he just answered his own question. By not calling it radical Islam, he's calling it what it is not. He's calling a threat by a different name, and it does not make it go away. That's why he's allowed one massacre after another. And he's right. It is a political distraction not to call it radical Islam. So once again, the psychopath in the White House, and by the way, if you hear his voice, you can hear a very insecure, almost sweatingly angry, defensive president for one of the first times that I've heard in years, because he knows why he's not using the phrase Islamic or radical Islam or whatever. And I will answer the question very simply for the president, since none of his advisors seem to be able to do it, which is that it would define the enemy. In World War II, had they not defined the Nazis as Nazis, what would they be, just Germans with guns? Germans with weird insignias on their arm? Germans who like to sing the Horst Wessel song? German nationals, radical German nationals, and let's not call them Nazis because we may offend the German people. Stupid! Stupid! He's an idiot. I think he's stupider than everyone thinks. 8 Islamic terror attacks could have been prevented under this genius in the White House. But wait, it gets even better. Despite what happened, the crime against the gays in the club, in this case, he won't budge on the Syrian refugees that he wants to bring in, even after the massacre of so many gay people. He's standing by his demand to bring in 10,000 Syrian refugees. No matter what anyone says to him, he's going to override the American people. He's going to override Congress because he is God. 10,000 Syrian refugees will be flooding into America. And why? They haven't been screened. There is no screening whatsoever. They're lying to you. And most of them, by the way, are military-age men without wives or children. He's bringing in an army. Now, although the government is lying to you and say that Syrian refugees are screened to an even higher standard, it's a complete lie. A total lie. And I can prove it. Saeed Rizwan Farouk, who was responsible for carrying out the San Bernardino massacre. Remember that one, Mr. Obama? Remember that one late last year before 35, 40 golf games ago? Remember Saeed Rizwan Farouk? She was a U.S. citizen born in Chicago. What does it have to do with this? Well, she helped radicalize Tashfeen Malik, her husband. Did you know the FBI said that they were both radicalized before they even met? And so to bring in Syrians and Iraqis, Muslims at that, not even Christians, and to settle them into Republican neighborhoods in America is, well, let's say there's a reason for it. And that is he wants to squeeze the last drop of change that he can out of his tenure as the dictator-in-chief. Under Obama, 8 Islamic terror attacks could have been prevented, according to a great editorial in the Investor's Business Daily, which is a very sobering look at what he has done. Since Obama has been president, Islamic terrorists have killed 91 and injured more than 370 on U.S. soil. And yet Obama still refuses to admit that radical Islam is the actual threat. Is this the explanation for why the idiots who work for him keep missing warning signs that could have prevented these attacks? Why is Jay Johnson, the head of Homeland Security, not forced to resign by Congress? Answer, because Congress is more incompetent than he is. What, the Republicans are going to do something? Mitch McConnell missed the coal? McConnell was put in by the coal industry. You know who McConnell is, don't you? The guy with the gullet, looks like a turkey. The big gullet under the neck. Right after he got the coal bill passed that he wanted, he dummied up right away. He was Mr. Obama's lackey. That was the end of him. So to sit here and accuse and attack and tell you what's wrong and right, I don't think it's going to entertain you very much nor educate you very much. Now, yesterday I did a show that was so good I didn't take one call for the first 2 hours, which was a first in 22 years in my radio career. So, you know, once you produce a platinum-level show, there's no point in trying to produce another platinum-level show based on the same subject. If you missed it, you missed it. Nobody could match what I did yesterday. Nobody in radio came anywhere near it. Everyone knows that. And having said that, I have a piece from yesterday's show, which I will play later on. And we will also get to a topic that has nothing to do with terrorism. But since terrorism has to do with living and dying, life and death, isn't it about life and death, living and dying? It's a little bit about freedom and slavery or freedom and fear. And the radical Muslims amongst us are having you live in fear now, aren't they? That's what they want. They've already achieved one of their great goals. They've turned this into a prison state. You go to the airport now, you're not a free American. You turn your life over to a minimum wage person who couldn't work in McDonald's other than the TSA. And suddenly, someone you wouldn't even rub shoulders with on the street, you'd cross the street. If you were on the street and you saw someone from the TSA in normal clothing, you'd probably cross the street to avoid them. And yet now they have the power to put an electric wand between your legs and tell you to open up your wallet and show everything in your wallet. So in that sense, Osama bin Laden beat us. He won already. So far as I can tell, they've lost no freedoms in their hell holes that they come from, because they never had any to begin with. But we've lost an awful lot of freedoms because first Bush and now Obama. So I wanted to talk about something not related to this at all, which is life and death. And that's, you're not going to believe where I'm going to go, because it's a very interesting subject to me. How many of you in this audience have been told by your quack doctor to take statins, or statins, whatever you want to call them? How many of you are on statins? Raise your hand. I see an awful lot of hands going up in the audience. Isn't that the current wonder drug? Isn't that the antibiotic of the heart disease world? Well, you're in real trouble. Because a new study came out confirming everything I've been warning you about. One of the best studies I've seen to date. And your doctor will not tell you about the study, but I'm going to discuss it with you. It's an important study of 38,000 people, not 380 people, not 12 people, which is something that the Mayo Clinic specializes in to debunk vitamins. But 38,000 individuals were studied in very, very intense epidemiological work, and they found something you won't believe, which is that not only are statins ineffective, they're harmful, and that the statistics proving that they're beneficial were warped along the lines of the global warming hockey stick stuff. Did you hear any of this? You cannot believe what I've discovered here. The statistical deception created to make statins look like they were safe and effective. The studies are awesome, but the big study for you, if you're on statins, and I don't expect you to suddenly stop taking your statins. No, go to the stethoscope, and he'll say, oh, don't listen to that talk show host. Why, he's not a medical doctor like me. I'm an expert in medicine. I can guarantee you your doctor is an idiot when it comes to science. I guarantee your doctor doesn't even read scientific papers. I guarantee you that your doctor is nothing more than a drug peddler. I guarantee you that your doctor does exactly what the drug detailers tell him to do. I guarantee you the doctor gets a trip to Hawaii if he sells more statins than his neighbor down the street. So all I can say is consumer beware. I'm going to give you the information on the dangers of statins. And yet here's a silver lining. You're not going to believe this one. Are you ready for this related to the, since it's life and death? Are you ready for this one? Remember I told you, like, I'm a cardio neurotic because my father died young, grandfather, etc. And so all my life I've been in the nutrition field, epidemiology. I take mega doses of vitamins. I do many other things. And knock wood, so far, I'm knocking on an effigy of Hillary Clinton's head. Knock wood, so far, so good. Tomorrow, you know, it could change. So my last blood work comes back, and I have hugely out of proportion LDL-HDLs. I'm talking my LDLs are off the charts. And you know the low-density lipoproteins are the bad. They're the bad lipoproteins, right? Oh, rush to your doctor. Have the quack put you on statins. And you'll be safe, won't you? Now, your legs may not work. Your arms may not work. Your liver may be challenged. You may get liver disease and become a semi-cripple. But, hey, your blood work will look good. What you don't know, and what I discovered, I had a great night last night. It was so good from this study. Are you ready for this? Not only are high levels of LDLs not harmful, they're beneficial. It's the reverse of everything the doctors have been telling you. So who do you blame, the doctors? No, you blame the drug companies. The pharmaceutical industry is selling a product. And in order to sell this product, they have to panic the population. In order to panic the population, they have to put out false studies. And so this study, I would consider to be a valid study and a really valid one. And this is the first systematic review of cohort studies where LDL cholesterol was analyzed as a risk factor for all-cause and or cardiovascular mortality in elderly people. Now, what's interesting about what I'm about to tell you is that what this study is about is that for people over 60, what I'm telling you is true. If you're in your 30s and you have problems with your lipids, this may not apply. But we're talking about people over 60, and that's a large population right now. And so the bottom line is the bottom line, which I'll discuss later on in the show. So in other words, my body was doing the right thing. Do you know why it was doing the right thing? Do you know why high levels of LDL are good for older people? Because low-density lipoproteins, the bad cholesterol, so to speak, the bad ones, they actually bind and inactivate a large and broad range of microorganisms and their toxic products. So you're kidding me. So if you have a lot of toxins in you, a lot of microbes in you, high LDLs are actually quenching these microbes. And diseases that are caused or aggravated by microbes often occur more often in people with low cholesterol, as observed in many, many studies. So low cholesterol is actually harmful for you if you're an older person. Did you know this? And it's connected to cancer as well. Did you hear that as well? Oh, I've known this since the 70s about that part of it. One of my books in 1972 was called Nutrition Against Aging. No, it wasn't 72. I know, somewhere in the 70s or 8. I don't remember anymore. It's a long time ago. One of my books was entitled Nutrition Against Aging, and I warned against the dangers of polyunsaturated oils. Even then, I was aware of the dangers. Anyway, it's a huge study. I think I put it up on michaelsavage.com for those of you who are concerned about your health, your cardiac health, worried about taking statins. I would hope doctors would read the study. If he's a good doctor or she's a good doctor, she'll actually read the study instead of talking about it without reading it. Instead of attacking me, they might read the study itself and then discuss it with you, but I doubt that will happen. And so if you want to talk about life and death on the Savage Nation, the phone number is 855-407-2822. What questions am I going to ask you today? Well, we want to talk about the gay massacre for sure. And should the government use the term radical Islam? Oh, you betcha. Oh, you betcha. I have entire books of propaganda from World War II where both the German and the Japanese enemy was vilified with drawings of them, making them into something less than humans. Now, why did the U.S. military and why did Hollywood join in vilifying Japanese and Germans during World War II? Why do you suppose they vilified the German Nazi and the Japanese imperialists? Why? So that your grandfather could go and put a bayonet in his guts instead of getting a bayonet put into his guts. See, that's how that works. But now you have a propagandist in the White House who doesn't even want you to say anything negative about radical Islamists for fear that you might offend the enemy itself. So which side is he really on? Which side is he really on? Is he playing for the other team? Or is he just a naive progressive who wants to do good and is doing very, very poorly indeed?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So the Muslim madman, now it's about whether he was gay or not. Don't you love this subtle change all of a sudden? I mean, now it's no longer about Islam and radical Islam and the war against the West. The war, by the way, has been going on for 1,400 years against the whole world. Hindus, Christians, Jews, Zoroastrians, you name it. They've been at war with everyone trying to kill them or convert them. That's the way it goes. 7th century mentality at war since the 7th century. But now we're supposed to... Now, what, the issue was gay? Was he gay? Wasn't he gay? That's the new issue now. I could care less what he was. He was an Islamic murderer. He said Allah Akbar when he killed him. By the way, they won't release the 9/11 tape. Why is it that Obama and DHS has clamped down and will not release the 9/11 tape where he called 911 and said he's doing it because of his allegiance to ISIS and he said Allah Akbar? Why do you think that the deceiver-in-chief will not release that tape? Why is it that the deceiver-in-chief will not let you hear that tape? Duh. Because if you hear him go, Allah Akbar, and I'm a member of ISIS, that means that they failed you again. That's all. Use your I'm sorry. I'm saying use your heads in America. Are you joking? What heads? Let me tell you something. Most people don't even know what happened. The average blimp walking around in this country doesn't know what happened. The blimp floats along from one ice cream and one hot dog to the next. The blimp doesn't know what happened. The blimp doesn't care what happened. We are such a me generation. I mean of all ages now. Forget about it. We're such a selfie generation that unless the bomb goes off underneath our own skirt, there was no bomb. It didn't hit us. If, God forbid, a bomb went off on 43rd Street in New York, somebody on 42nd Street would say, don't bother me with it. I have a meeting on Wall Street. This is called the lack of cohesion in a population, which is why I have to say to you, my message of borders, language, and culture is the only saving grace there is. It could unify the American people of all races, of all backgrounds, could be unified under the concept of borders, language, and culture, which is why Donald Trump is soaring and Hillary Clinton is, well, let's just say falling.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
We now have proposals from the presumptive Republican nominee for President of the United States to bar all Muslims from emigrating to America. We hear language that singles out immigrants and suggests entire religious communities are complicit in violence. Where does this stop? The Orlando killer, one of the San Bernardino killers, the Fort Hood killer, they were all U.S. citizens.
And Muslims.
Are we going to start treating all Muslim Americans differently? Are we going to start subjecting them to special surveillance?
I don't know. People are asking. Donald Trump demands tougher domestic surveillance of mosques. Ooh! You mean some mosques may harbor imams who hate Americans and hate Christians and Jews? Trump demands a tougher domestic surveillance of mosques. We can't have that in our America. We're all equal. Terrorism comes from all walks of life. It comes from Caucasians, Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Just the same, boys and girls. Now you eat your pablum, and you listen to Missy. Missy's telling you exactly the way it is. Well, I think something needs to be done since you've blown it 8 times now, Obama. And if we had a government that was not supine to you, you would have been kicked out on your shoes by now. So Dianne Feinstein, listen to this, this octogenarian loser, is the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. She failed us. Jay Johnson, head of DHS, another moron. He failed us. And yet they give us the same speech the next day. Let's not single out Muslims. Let's get to meaningful, responsible gun control. Let's not turn the Muslim world against us. Let's build bridges to Muslims. But you want to build a bridge to Syria so they come in faster, moron? Listen to this moron in clip 4. How did this man get this job? Certainly not based on brains. Listen to clip 4.
In this environment where we have to be concerned about not just terrorist-directed attacks, but terrorist-inspired attacks, those who self-radicalize, requires a whole-of-government approach, which includes building bridges to communities, American Muslim communities. We've been at this since I've been secretary, and we're going to continue to build bridges to American Muslim communities, not vilify them, drive them into the corner.
Well, that's worked. How'd that work out, idiot? You built a bridge. They took the bridge and dropped the bomb on someone. Idiot, moron. Sane society, he's fired. Investigated. Sane society, Feinstein is taken out and put into Creedmoor State Mental Hospital. It's reopened. Wait, it gets a bit better. Here's Dianne Feinstein. This woman, oh my God, if you knew half of what I really feel about, why is she in Congress this long? Why is Nancy Pelosi allowed to get away with what she does? Why is Barbara Boxer allowed to get away with what? Because they're women? They're superior? I love women. Let's have one that isn't, let's say, deranged or corrupt. Let's have one that is not a profiteer in high places. Yeah, you heard me, the word profiteer, it's a word that isn't used too often in America because it's become so commonplace we accept it as the norm. But you see, if you're in the Senate, you're not supposed to be a profiteer. There are people in the Senate, in my estimation, who, if they could get away with it, would profit on the autopsies of the victims of terrorism. If there was some way to make money off the autopsies of the victims of a terrorist attack, they would find a way to do it if it was legal. You know, there used to be a saying from one of the companies that slaughtered pigs. I forget the name of the company. It was Truns. I don't know which the meat market was. We sell everything but the squeal. That's how most of the senators are today. They profit from everything except the squeal of the American people. To them, we're nothing but barnyard animals. And what they do is they take everything they can get. I've never seen anything like it. You know, The Sopranos, for example, that was a takeoff on Mafia in America. Very good series. People may remember it. Nothing compared to the senators today. Nothing. You don't have to go into organized crime to do what needs to be done. Just go into government. Because the people are nothing but barnyard animals who squeal and have no power. Yeah, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Play the Star Spangled Banner. Show up at a war memorial cemetery. Sickening. So now we have it rough. For the top down, it's endemic. You don't want to hear it. I guess summertime. A lot of people don't even know what I'm talking about. Nightclub victim describes how he survived slaughter. Not interested. Trump says there have to be consequences for Muslims who don't report suspicious activity. Wouldn't that be logical? If you see something, say something. So listen to clip 13. Tell me if you agree with Donald or not.
It's so important that when they see trouble going on, like they did in San Bernardino, I mean, there were numerous people that saw bombs all over this apartment floor. They knew something was going on. They never reported him or her. They never reported, and then 14 people were killed, many, many people injured. Same thing here. You're going to find out with this savage that did this horrible thing over the weekend that many people said, oh, I knew that was going on. They've got to report
him. No, I mean, how dare he call him a savage? That's an insult to savages. Savages are generally noble. I read the Pensée Sauvage. I read it a long time ago in the original French. The savage is a noble creature. These are not savages, Donald. You're wrong about that. Savages are generally noble people. But no, these are not savages. This is something else. Oh, what else is there? I don't know if I even want to do this anymore. It's not heartbreaking. It's a bore. You know, it's actually boring. It's the summertime. Hey, play some summertime music for the average drug-infested American who's tuning around the dial. The average Pollyanna out there listening to music who's scanning the dials and hears me and says, who's this guy? I like his voice. What's he talking about? What shooting? Where? Where was there a shooting? When? I'm on vacation. What? Pass the pills and hold your ammunition. But if you missed this yesterday, if you think that Islam doesn't matter, if you think Islam itself may not be the problem, if you think the Holy Book itself may not be the problem, if you want to bring in 10,000 male Muslims from Syria who read the Holy Book like you read, let us say, whatever you read, here is Imam Sheikh Farouk Selah Ashghafar speaking in Orlando, Florida in 2013, saying gays must be killed out of compassion. This is in America. So where do you think the gay killer, or the killer of gays, whichever way you want to play the story, got his idea that gays should be killed? Well, he didn't get it from Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Listen to Imam Sheikh Farouk Salakafar, if you could put down your iPhone for 2 seconds, clip number 18.
Death is the sentence. I mean, look, there's nothing to be embarrassed about this. That death is the sentence. But we have to have that compassion for people. With homosexuals, it's the same. Out of compassion, let's get rid of him now.
That's all. He was allowed into the country. Don't know why he wasn't invited to DHS to give a lecture on Islam. I have no idea why Jay Johnson missed him. I mean, as an invitee, I don't mean to throw him out. I'm surprised Feinstein didn't have the Sheikh to her house for a dinner, for cross-cultural experiences. Now, the fact is gay men are rounded up for processing in the Islamic world, where homosexuals are demonized, banned, beaten, probed, forced into marriage, flogged, incarcerated, lashed, hanged, brutalized, stoned, thrown from roofs, tortured, and shot. Oh, wait, hold on now. Don't reach for that Prozac. Homosexuals are beheaded, hung and stoned in modern Saudi Arabia. No, don't reach for that Prozac. They're hung and stoned in modern Saudi Arabia and Iran, where Muhammad's laws are followed as strictly as they were in the 7th century. Five other Muslim countries also have the death penalty on their books for homosexual behavior. But don't pay any attention to that. Listen to the commander-in-chief. Because, after all, he knows best. He knows what's best for you. That's the important thing to know, is he means well and he knows the best for you. My friends, my friends, my friends, Homeland Security, a worthless organization. How much of Homeland Security is devoted to combating violent Islamic extremism as opposed to the potential threat from Americans with guns? What percent of their budget goes to investigating returning military veterans as opposed to arriving Muslims or Muslims who have gone over to the other side? Oh, God. Now, of course, Obama blames us for the massacre, not terrorism. That's what he did. He used the word terror during his speech right afterwards. Put down the number 5 iron, came out for a speech. But he didn't define what he meant by terror. He didn't say what it was coming from. He wouldn't use the word Islamist, ISIS-inspired, ISIS-directed. Wouldn't say Islam. And he said we need the strength and courage to change. What does he mean by change what? We need the strength and courage to change what? What was he talking about? So it's that we Americans somehow brought this upon ourselves. The attack at the Pulse nightclub was not caused by the radical Islamist who did it, who pledged allegiance to ISIS. It was not caused by the book he was reading and what he was hearing in the mosque. No, 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 no. It was us. We did it to him. We did it. See, we have crazy people running the country. And if you think it's going to get easier for me and you, you're wrong. It's going to get worse. But the good news is Obama's shaken. I heard it in his voice. I'm an expert on voice recognition data. I've studied it all my life. When my father first yelled at me, I became an early expert on voice recognition danger, just like a dog does. Just like a dog can detect when you're going to be mad at him by how your voice changes. I can detect voices, and I know what voices are doing. It's very important you understand what I'm saying to you. Obama was shaken by Trump. And you have to listen to this now in the context of the statement I just made to you. As a voice recognition specialist, I, Michael Savage, want you to listen. I invite you to listen to clip 20. Here is your president shaken to the core because somebody finally criticized him and he actually heard the criticism and he can't take it. He cannot take criticism. He has never criticized. He's not let anyone near him ever will suggest that he's wrong about anything. His whole life, the skids were greased for this kid. From Punahou forward, some secret hands cultivated him as sure as I'm sitting here. And they foisted him upon us and the world. Listen to clip 20.
For a while now, the main contribution of some of my friends on this side of the aisle have made in the fight against ISIL is to criticize this administration and me for not using the phrase radical Islam. That's the key, they tell us. We can't beat ISIL unless we call them radical Islamists. What exactly would using this label accomplish? What exactly would it change?
All right, you get the picture.
Would it make...
No, so long as the bluster was slightly reduced. Well, it would help identify the enemy, number one, like calling a Nazi in World War II. That's the first thing it would do. The second thing, it was help people define who the enemy is, and they'd be a little more leery about folks from that community who may, just may be harboring hatred for them. They might be able to defend themselves a little better. Because my friends, there's clear to me that there have been 8 attacks since the genius took over the presidency. I mean, 8, that's all. 8. So you say, well, it would have been worse under Republican. That would be the immediate answer. That's all. The immediate answer for the knee-jerkers, well, there would have been 9 under Republicans. Well, the next thing is George Bush had 9/11. What did he do about it? That's the next one. Okay, there's your answer. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. No, no, no. Talk about the bouncing morons in the government who tell us that we need to build bridges to radical Islam or to Islam or to something like that. Very like saying, let's see, let me think if I can follow this a little bit. December 7th, 1941, so it's December 8th, 9th, 10th, and President Roosevelt, instead of saying war has been declared, he says we've got to build bridges to the Japanese imperialists. We've got to embrace the Japanese spirit, the Japanese people. We don't want to alienate the Japanese people. They really are friends, that most Japanese really like to make flower arrangements. And they do make good sushi over there. It's just a few mad, deranged lone wolves in Japan who attacked us on Pearl Harbor. As far as that Hitler guy, yes, he's a little off beam. He's sort of the Osama bin Laden of the German people, that Hitler guy. But just because he invaded Poland, just because he invaded Czechoslovakia, let's not tar brush the entire German people. Yes, the Horst Wessel song is offensive. I get it. Yes, the Nazi insignia symbolizes a sort of evil thing, but it's not the German people that are our enemy. We must build bridges to the German people so more of them don't become radicalized and join the Nazi party. If we only reach out to the German people, they won't join the local Bund, and they will not get the armband. They will not learn the tune, the Horst Wessel tune. They'll become our friends. In fact, we should bring in more Germans before World War II. Bring in many of them. As many young German men as possible. Bring them into America and love them all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about this. That death is the sentence. But we have to have that compassion for people. But homosexual is the same. Compassion, let's get rid of him now.
Obama says that we shouldn't use the phrase radical Islam, we should build bridges. Jay Johnson, who failed us for the 8th time at least, 8th time, which we know, the Wall Street lawyer that made the head of Homeland Security, says that we must not stigmatize Muslims. We should embrace them. We must build bridges to them. Feinstein, head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, they wheel her out, take her out of the old age home, and I don't know what she said. Something about guns being seized, that's the right thing to do. That's the main thing, is to seize guns. You can't defend yourself at all. She's allowed to have Secret Service. You can't even have a pea gun. That's all. That's number 3. Let's see, he's number 4 now. We haven't heard from the head of the CIA. He's busy on a prayer rug somewhere. Praying that they won't discover that he's actually... Oh, come on! It's like if... See, we are so brainwashed in this country and so intimidated by reality... That when reality hits us in the face, we don't even accept it. Instead, we vilify the truth. The truthsayers become the people we vilify, like me, others in radio who dare get near the truth. So, my friends, Romans and countrymen, here we are. Welcome to Hillary's America. University of Wisconsin students to undergo mandatory cultural competency training. Not how to do mathematics. Not how to do science. No. Instead, they're going to get cultural competency training. 1,000 incoming students will be brainwashed by the vermin who run the college at a cost ranging between $150,000 and $200,000. University of Wisconsin students, to undergo mandatory cultural competency training so they don't offend people of color and minorities in other ways through microaggressions, things that others say. Sneeze the wrong direction. Let's say a white student shows up at the University of Wisconsin campus and the person sneezes and they go, ha-shoo! And let's say somebody of the Jewish faith hears that. They could call up the chancellor and say they were just microaggressed because someone said, ha-shoo. I just sneezed. No, you didn't sneeze. I'm sorry. That was a microaggression. You don't even realize your sneeze itself was racist. This is what they're going to be trained not to sneeze in a certain way. I mean, look, if I can't laugh at all of this and try to put it in the context of insanity, what do you want me to do? So here we are. It's insane times. And how many more months do we have left of this clown in the White House? Let's see. Anybody want to count the days? Let's see. It's not even a long, hot summer yet. Nothing. No city is on fire yet. Okay. No cops attacked yesterday. No police killed because of anti-police rhetoric. No, not yet. But August is coming, the long, hot summer. Then you got the long September, October, November, December. As I told you, around this time, at the end of the Bush regime, where is that dunce? What's he doing, lecturing? How do people go to a Bush lecture and pay money for that one? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, he was enough as a president. Remember that, those years, the bumbler? At least Obama, to his credit, you don't get bored when he speaks. He can finish a sentence. He's articulate. He's got a great voice. He doesn't mash up syntax. He doesn't step on his tongue. He does the right glottal stops. I don't know who Bush lectures to. Who would listen to him? Where is he today? But remember him in the last 3 months? I warned you. I said he's a fiscal socialist, and no one knew what I was talking about. You hadn't even heard of the word socialism by then. It wasn't yet in common parlance. I've been using it for years before anyone even knew what socialism was. I explained different socialism, communism, Marxism, Marx, Engels. Explained it all. Studied them in college on my own. They didn't really teach it all, except to glorify Karl Marx. All of the emigres from Germany who came here and kissed the ground the minute they got here. The first thing they did was teach us communism. But that's a separate story, how I overcame the brainwashing even as a youth. But the fact of the matter is, here we are. And we're talking about another massacre and nothing. It's like it didn't happen. Nothing's changed. Instead of warning you how to protect yourself about the coming attacks, build bridges. That's Obama's answer. The head of the Homeland Security, Schmendrick, Jay Johnson, came out. Build bridges to the Muslim community. What does that mean, build bridges? What do you mean, build bridges? Why don't they build a bridge to America and say we're going to start turning in the radicals and throw them out of our mosques? That'd be a nice bridge to build. No, everything is upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland. It's like a mad comic, only it's not a comic. People are dying. So it's summertime. I know I'd like to be off, too. But I wouldn't really want to be off. I was off 3 days last week. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. I was off Monday. I was in L.A. Took off Thursday and Friday. We did a replay. The replays were better than live. Most shows that are live are not as good as my replays, if I must say so myself. For if I'm not for myself, who will be you? What, you're going to read about me somewhere on Town Hall? Is something going to remember who I am? Oh, Breitbart's suddenly going to talk about me? Right. It's an in crowd. It's part of the complex. Oh, my God. So what do I want to do for you today for your entertainment pleasure? I don't know. Let's see. I think I got something good for you here. I got it. Here it is. I'm going to read something to you, and then you're going to tell me where this comes from. I visited the Hagia Sophia yesterday, saw how the Muslims desecrated the murals of Christ and the Virgin. Disgusting. People should have a look at that. Maybe we wouldn't hear so much propaganda about Islam as a religion of peace. Are you kidding? Brooks said. The average guy wouldn't believe it. They've been brainwashed into hating the religion of their own fathers. Maybe you should buy it. Where'd that line come from? Anyone who knows where that line came from gets a free copy of Teddy and Me. Here's another line I'm going to read to you. But you have to know exactly where it comes from in order to get the prize, to win the prize. And I don't know if any of you remember it, but should I give you the answer? What's the difference? It's a good book. It was called Countdown to Mecca by a best-selling New York Times best-selling author. It actually outsold the second one, A Time for War. I didn't know that till yesterday. I spoke to my agent. I knew that the first novel, Abuse of Power, sold extremely well for a first novel. It would make most, quote, novelists. I love it. John Smith, stockbroker in New York, and his novelist wife. Don't you love that? Novelist wife. She wrote a self-published book that sold 4 copies to her and her girlfriends. Novelist. Oh, look at her, man. That's Susan Hedge Fund. She wrote it. She's a novelist, really? No kid. Oh, yes. He was married to an artist before that. Bought her a gallery. Nobody bought the paintings. He put him in his... So my first novel sold well, second one not as well, third one very well. Countdown to Mecca is a great book, important to read, especially for moderate Muslims who listen to the show. Why? Why should moderate Muslims who are educated read my book, Countdown to Mecca? First of all, it's a novel, because it's the opposite of what you may think. My hero, Jack, stumbles upon a terrorist attack that's been put into motion. And it's a terrorist attack conducted, that's being planned, rather, by top generals in the U.S. military. Jack learns of it through, well, I won't tell you the whole plot. And he tries to stop the terrorist attack on Mecca. The terrorist attack was supposed to be conducted by the U.S. military because he knows that if Mecca is attacked, it will set off the end of the world. So Jack, my hero, the whole book is about him stopping the attack on Mecca. That's why it's called Countdown to Mecca. I should have been given a Pulitzer Prize, a Penn Prize, maybe even a Nobel Prize for this novel. But because the same fools run everything, no one even knows it was written. But it's actually a great novel, really. I would say good. I'd give it a B+. I wouldn't say great. The great one hasn't been written by me yet. This is a good one. And it's worth looking at because some of the politics in there is interesting. Some of the technology is pretty good. It was a thing of beauty, single-engine Cessna Supercargomaster EX, some 41 and a half feet long, powered by a single Pratt & Whitney PT6A, 140 turboprop, the aircraft could carry a max. See, stuff like that. I was into details. Wine, certain scotch details, cigar details, airplane details, car details. I think Jack's car, my hero, has a car called Wilhelm. He calls his Mercedes S600. He gives it a name. Do you name your cars? Robert, do you have a car that you name like a Nellie Bell or something like that? I don't mean you call it Nellie Bell, but every one of my machines that I have, I used to have a boat, I call it a certain name. They all have a personality. So my big S600, I bought it new in 08, I won't sell it, it's better than the new ones. Less aluminum in it, doesn't have that stupid eco thing that stalls at a traffic light. What is that about? I often wonder about that. They make these cars now, you stop at a traffic light, they stall. And the minute you press the gas, it starts again. Doesn't that wear out the starter and produce some kind of toxins in the environment, just cranking it over? Doesn't that produce some kind of number one, number two? Doesn't it burn more gas by restarting it? So the thing, I don't even like, it's not so much the gas, I don't like the idea of a car stalling at a traffic light. So mine doesn't stall at a traffic light, the 08 S600, I won't sell it. Car was 150 grand new, 160 grand new. You know what it's worth? $25,000. Can you believe it? How cars deteriorate in value, diminish? So why sell it? I just put in $5,000, new tires. That's $350 a piece. That's $1,500. Most people wouldn't. They would just trade it in. They say, oh, well, I can't be driving an old car. Get a new one. So Joneses think I'm not poor. But I love that car. I named it Wilhelm. The point is I named it Wilhelm, and it appeared in my novels as Wilhelm, the car, Wilhelm the Mercedes. 0 to 64.5 seconds. Thing is heavy, fast. You press, you go from C to S, it'll do, it's something like a big sports car. It could be a collector, like on a car show in 20 years. This car was once owned by the American talk show hero, Patriot Michael Savage, many years ago. It was in 3 novels. How much do we get for this? Do I hear $5? Do I hear $6? You ever see these auctions, the Mecum auctions, these hysterical auctions on these car channels? What is that? Guys screaming and jumping up, smashing hammers down. If I came from another planet, I would say that they're insane. They need medication. Screaming. And how about the yolds who buy the cars? They get so caught up. The guy thinks he's a hero because he paid too much for a car at an auction. They go, oh, you're a smart guy. You just paid $1.5 million for a Buick. That's really great, man. Here. Great. And with the commissions, $1.7 million. Great. Take it home. Now put it in the garage. And you and Audrey can look at it tomorrow and wonder what you did. Like, what's that car doing in my garage? Why did I pay $1.7 million for an old Buick? These car shows. Crazy. American culture. I'm a student of American culture. Observer. Crazy. The whole society's nuts from top to bottom. It doesn't mean I don't enjoy it. I watch the car shows. I watch the auctions. I have no idea why they pay so much for these cars. I got rid of those cars in those days because they were terrible. They were horrible in those days. I remember some of the cars I now want, I sold for next to nothing. They were such junk. I'll never forget, I had a 1958 Jaguar in New York. I'm getting off track because it's summer. Pardon me. I'm sick and tired of talking about murder and blood. I can't stand it. And I'm going back now. Because I was a poor kid, an immigrant son, I wanted to look extra American. And I wanted to pass for an American as quickly as possible. So you certain ape certain things. And naturally, as a young immigrant son, the first thing you do is try to look English. I was a big Anglophile in those days. Little did I know what the English were. Had I only known, I would have tried to look like a Syrian. But I was aping the English nobility. If I only knew how degenerate they really were, forget about it. You know, the cucumber gins and all of that stuff. So I wanted a Jaguar. I thought that was like the mark of sophistication. Little did I know what rattle rust buckets they are. I own two right now, by the way. It broke down again. The mechanic picked it up this morning. It leaked all over the driveway. That's after 5,000, a hose broke, another oil in the thing. Now a mess. Wonderful car to look at. As long as you don't start it in the garage. So in those days I bought a used XK150 drop head coupe. Maroon. Loved it. Gorgeous. You couldn't drive it anywhere without it breaking down. In fact, remember once it got stuck in first gear overnight. I went to a hangout in someone's apartment on 30th Avenue. I don't know what street, 38th Street. I had a friend who lived there. It got locked in first gear. I couldn't even get it started in the morning before they were going to tow it away. That was the... When I finally got it started, I drove it across the bridge to Sunnyside. There was a shyster dealer, may he rotten you know where. I said, how much do you give me for this car? It was in Long Island City. He looked at me, figured I was an idiot kid, which I was. He said, $800. I said, I'll take it. I didn't care what he offered me. I took cash and left. I took the subway home. Now I collect cars like that. Go figure. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. What do I want you to do? I mean, really, honestly, nothing. I don't expect you to do anything. What are you going to do? You got idiots running the government. You're powerless. An idiot from top to bottom. All it takes is one idiot at the top. He hires idiots to run every department. So what do you expect? Intelligence anywhere? Argument over radical Islam is a political distraction. Duh. No, you should call them what? Radical Christians? Jay Johnson wants to build bridges to Islam. How many more bridges can you build? Let them build a bridge to us, I said. Let them build a bridge by turning in the bad ones. That'd be a nice bridge. Feinstein, head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. No intelligence failure in Orlando terror attack, according to her. Because she's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Right. No failure on intelligence. What have you been doing on the Intelligence Committee, DIFI? What have you been doing up there? Seeing how you can profit some way? See what's going to be sold next? What RFP is coming up? Come on! From top to bottom. Orlando Shooter's wife knew about his plot, but she tried to stop him. Right. Sure. Authorities are weighing criminal charges against the wife of homegrown terrorist Omar Mateen. Surprised they haven't changed his name to Homer. Homer Smith. Still calling him Omar, which is really shocking. Because it's not an American name. They could have called him Homer by now, changed it to Homer Smith. She said she tried to talk him out of launching his attack. Well, I think this is definitely a chance to build a bridge with the wife. And she should be hired by Obama as an expert on radical Islam. And I think a national security advisor should hire the wife to build a bridge.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the lighthearted Savage Nation. Forget the massacre in Orlando. It didn't really happen. And even if it did happen, it was your fault anyway, because you were too tough on Muslims. And according to the president, we failed them. We failed the Islamic community by not building enough bridges. And, of course, Jay Johnson was finally found somewhere. They put a suit, gave him a shave, cleaned him up, brought him out. And the first thing he says, we need to build bridges. They went to the nearest old age home somewhere in Marin County. They found Dianne Feinstein talking to herself in a corner next to a drape. And she said, no intelligence failure in Orlando terror attack. We need to seize your guns. And then they put her back into the home in the chair, cleaned up the drape. And here we are living like in a suspended animation. That's why I'm talking about, you know, like funny stuff, like summer stuff, cars I owned when I was young, when things were simple and cars mattered. You know what I'm saying? So now we have the wife. Orlando Shooter's wife knew about plot, but we're told she tried to talk him out of it, so she shouldn't be arrested. In fact, I think she should be hired by the head of Department of Homeland Security, who wants to build bridges to Muslims. And she could become an expert consultant on terrorist husbands and how not to talk them out of it while saying that she tried to talk them out of it. That would be a good bridge. She can come to the White House for Ramadan and break some lamb with them. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is someone who knows the whole story better than I do, Waleed Shobat, an expert on terrorism. Now, here's the thing about Waleed, why I love him. I don't know the man. I love his brain. Waleed was a member of the Palestine Liberation Organization and a terrorist group. And Waleed knows terrorism from inside out. He's a very brave man. He, I guess, lives in a... I don't know where he lives. I don't want to know where he lives. Waleed Shobat, you know it all. Tell us what's going on this terrorism. Waleed, what do you want to say today? What do you want to tell America?
What I want to tell Americans, this is Muslim gay on non-Muslim gay attack. That's what.
Wait, Muslim gay on non-Muslim gay. Okay.
Correct. I mean, if you look at ISIS, we've documented for years Islam and what Islam talks about homosexuality, how they have what is called al-mukhannathun, which is really cross-dressing homosexuals, how Muhammad, the prophet of Islam himself, praised cross-dressers. So it is unlikely that this...
Who praised it? Who did?
Well, I was talking about Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. He himself was a cross-dresser.
Oh, come on. That is so blasphemous. How could you dare say that?
Well, it's written in the hadith when he dressed in Aisha's clothing, his wife, Aisha's clothing, the inspiration from the so-called, supposedly, the angel.
Really? Who knew? Oh, man, that's cool. Really cool.
Yeah, if you look at the Islam...
He was ahead of his time, man. He was really ahead of his time.
I mean, look at Harun al-Rashid, one of the most famous caliphs in Islam. He had preferred a boy named Al-Majin. In fact, I could show you scholars from Saudi Arabia talking about Islamic Khilafah, the Prophet, all of these things. Even in Turkey today, cross-dressing, male dressed up like belly dancers. You can go to Turkey.
Well, why don't they bring them into Homeland Security for a little cross-cultural experiment? Look, yes. Waleed, this is so crazy. All we can do is laugh at the fools who are running this country. What does Islam teach about homosexuality? I happen to have quotes from the Quran that are pretty amazing. I mean, calls for killing, murdering, maiming, and they're still doing it in Saudi Arabia and Iran, aren't they?
Of course, but there's also quotes in what is called Al-Ghilman Al-Mukhalladun, which is the eternal boys in heaven, and it's sex in heaven. Even when I went to high school, the teacher was embarrassed to teach us this part of the Islamic studies, but then he told us, this is Islam. Islam teaches that you can have, you know, boys in heaven. And so this guy has been proven that Mateen, Omar Mateen, is gay. And there's many testimonies that just came out just today. His own wife said he was gay. And so we have ample evidence. The man was gay. He attended this place dozens of times.
So why did he kill people in a nightclub? That I don't understand.
That's simple to understand. Because you have to understand, he was Muslim fundamentalist. His wife was Palestinian. In fact, she lived in Northern California, where just I lived as well. And she's pro-Gaza and all these things. And so in Islam, you know, he's sinful because he's, you know, gay. So he must have felt guilty. And then the way to go out is with a suicide. Kill the infidel and go out with a suicide. In fact, the flight, the Egyptian flight, 804, that was also a suicide. I got statements from people who saw the pilot's Last Supper. He went suicide by drowning. So
wait, you mean that flight in Egypt? Okay, now wait a minute. Let's go back for a minute. There was a 9/11 call that no one has heard. They won't release it. The government's hiding it, where the murderer in Orlando allegedly calls 9/11 and says he pledges to ISIS and blah, blah, blah. Why won't they release that? Is that because then we'll put two and two together and we won't sing a white sport coat and a pink carnation?
Well, yeah, they want to keep it as... This is gay martyrdom. It is obvious why he called the police. He called the police because he wanted to make sure he dies. No one's there to kill him. You know, so he has to be killed. He has to be martyred to go to heaven.
This, but why won't they release the 9/11 tape? Where is it?
Well, that's a good question. The whole system is broken. I mean, you have this guy worked for G4S, GS4, whatever it's called.
Oh yeah, and they usher immigrants across America. We put
right.
So the wolves in hen house get it. Sure, put the wolves in charge of the hen house and have them deliver more wolves across America.
That's correct. In fact, even the statement that came from G4S, they said we're shocked and saddened. Tragic.
Who owns G4S? Who's the actual holding company?
I don't know exactly who it is, but what I do know is that they refused, when several complaints given to them, they refused to let this man go. He had a badge, he was a security guard, and this firm, by the way, works for the U.S. government, does Homeland Security, U.S.
Oh, I'm so, well, that answers the whole question. Of course they wouldn't fire him with...
border.
Why is Jay Johnson still head of Homeland Security while he... Come on. Just as two American citizens, what sane nation on earth? The man failed us in 8 terrorist attacks, and he's done nothing? How can he still have his job?
Well, the whole system is basically broken. Right from the top, you have Obama himself. We documented ample evidence, Obama's family and their Islamist connections and their works with the Saudis and all of these things. And we even have documented tapes from his own brother talking about how he purchased girls because he's Muslim. He's entitled to purchase underage girls. I have it on recording, you know. And nobody wants to watch. Nobody wants to hear the truth in this country. This is why.
The DHS put out a report that says we should not use terms such as jihad, sharia, takfir, or ummah, because it offends Muslims.
I mean, we supposed to evolve from saying radical Islam to Islam itself. Now we're going backwards. We can't even say Islam. We can't even say radical Islam.
No, we can't say jihad, sharia, or takfir, according to DH Secretary Jay Johnson. It's a report I have in my hand. It was crafted by an HSAC subcommittee that Secretary Genius Johnson created in November of 2015. So today he comes out after hiding after the Orlando massacre. You got to hear this, Waleed. Here is the head of Homeland Security. Instead of coming out saying what he's going to do to defend us and protect us, here is what he says. You know, wait, I got to find it. It's clip 4. You must hear this. Play it, please, Robert.
In this environment where we have to be concerned about not just terrorist-directed attacks, but terrorist-inspired attacks, those who self-radicalize, it requires a whole-of-government approach, which includes building bridges to communities, American Muslim communities. We've been at this since I've been secretary, and we're going to continue to build bridges to American Muslim communities.
We've been at this since I'm secretary. How'd that work out, Waleed? Eight terrorist attacks since... 8 terrorist attacks. How's that bridge been working out?
It's actually over 50, 60 terrorists attempted. Many of them was foiled. But if you look at the system, I mean, from Google to Yahoo to YouTube, you know, if they are really combating terrorism, how come these guys can make chemicals, they can make TATP, they can make all kinds of explosive charges. They can make even charges that is equivalent to a mini nuke.
Yeah, I was going to ask him that. Why doesn't Mark Zuckerberg, the great billionaire, stop them from communicating on Facebook? Why don't the mercenaries at Twitter stop them?
Are you kidding? They're busy stopping us. They keep turning down my Facebook, my son's Facebook, you know, for days.
What do you mean? You've been banned on Facebook by Markey?
Yes, we have to get in a different way. But we've banned the account, and it's...
Well, why? What have you done that's illegal to Facebook?
Because I talk about homosexuality being immoral. That's the biggest problem.
Oh, well, you can't do that. Sorry.
So that's the biggest problem, you know, homophobic.
How does that work with the Pulse nightclub? Here's the thing. They've subtly turned it from a Muslim committing another mass slaughter to something about gays. How did that happen? How are they such geniuses at propaganda that they've gone from a Muslim slaughtering innocent people to something about gays? How did they turn it around like that?
It amazes me. I mean, we did a whole thing on it. They condemn anyone who says it is gay on gay, or it is Muslim gay, or it is Muslim period.
I'm surprised that they're still calling him by his name Omar. They haven't changed it to Homer. so he won't even know there's any connection to Islam or Muslims, right?
I mean,
they should give him an American name like Homer Smith. I think then Wolf Blitzer would be much more comfortable. And Jake Tapper certainly wouldn't be nervous. He wouldn't have to take those old nervous pills if they could only say Homer Smith. Why don't they just give him like a blonde wig in the future pictures, like blonde hair and blue eyes? See, Waleed, what I like about you is we haven't met, but I know you're such a serious guy. I mean, any former terrorist has to be real serious. But you have a sarcastic sense of humor, as do I, because of your cultural background. And you happen to know that a sarcastic sense of humor is the only thing that we have left.
You know, I finally give up, Michael. I really give up. I've worked with the FBI. I used to pinpoint to exact accuracy where Al-Qaeda had their ammunition in Libya, where they're moving. I mean, I had connections. They don't want none of it. I even turn in members of my own family who I finally had them captured in Canada, and they're giving passports to terrorists and things like that. You can manufacture the passport. They can change their names to different names.
Waleed, why are they doing this? I want to ask a terribly frightening question. Why are they doing this?
They're doing this, they want the chaos to fight against the Second Amendment. As you see, every time this happens, the first thing they attack is the Second Amendment. It is about the Second Amendment. They know these things are happening. They know when they're going to happen. They let it happen. That's why.
Oh, God. You know, it really is a conspiracy in your mind, clearly.
Absolutely. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's obvious what they want. They want more mass killing. They want ISIS to succeed. You know, they work. Look, I mean, Abu Salha, Munir Muhammad Abu Salha, who was in communication with Mateen. He is from al-Nusra. Al-Nusra works with Ahrar al-Sham. Ahrar al-Sham, the Obama administration, pays millions of dollars to train Ahrar al-Sham, which partners with a terror organization, according to the State Department. It's a terror organization. So here's...
Waleed, listen to this. Here's Dianne Feinstein, one of the most terrible Americans in the history of the government, who has failed miserably as the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. By any objective analysis, the woman has failed us at every turn. Listen to what she had to say today in clip number 9.
It's just terrible that terrorists can buy a gun in this country and not be, and they're not on any kind of watch list. It's easy to go through a background check. At least 91% of the people who have been tested by background checks have gone through them.
Why isn't Dianne Feinstein going through a background check? Why aren't U.S. senators put through some loyalty oath and tested for drugs? Why aren't they forced to pee in a cup every few months to see if they're not whacked out of their gourd on medication? Yep. I ask myself this every day. Do they think we're this stupid that we can't see through them?
Well, we can. The American people do see through them. And this is why we must elect Donald Trump. The only way to do it is really to elect.
Waleed, you know, I want to say this. So on the face of it, says, oh, that's reasonable. Let's not let people on terror watch lists buy guns. Now, who puts the people on terror watch lists? Why, DHS can do that, can't they?
Yes, of course, but there's two...
So they could put anybody on a watch list and ban you from buying a gun. That's why you're not getting that power, Dianne Feinstein. And while you're at it, why don't you give up your gun? I'll be back in a minute. Sick.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Thank Waleed Shoebat for being with us. His website is shoebat.com, S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com, a fount of information. Latest poll by the leftist Reuters, 50% of likely voters back a temporary ban on all Muslim entry to the United States. And the poll was conducted before Orlando. Did you hear that? New polling data from Reuters shows a surge in support for a far-reaching temporary ban on any Muslim entry into the United States. How Americans can finally be coming to their senses, I don't know, given the round-the-clock propaganda from Barry on downward. This finding represents a 22-point swing since the beginning of the month. You see, at the end of May, just 40% of likely voters supported a halt to Muslims immigrating to America. 54% of morons opposed such a ban. It was racist. But apparently they have been awakening to the fact that there is a little problem with Muslims as they come to the West. That they don't seem to become, how shall I put it, they don't integrate that that readily. For some reason they don't seem to integrate. It's quite a clash of civilization when you compare the sluts in America and Hollywood. I mean, take a look at the slut walk. Every day, Sunset Boulevard, a brassiere's falling off, a skirt falls down. Every day at an awards ceremony, another degenerate falls down on the stage to hold her up as a role model. In a way, it's like a breath of fresh air to see them wrapped up like this from Somalia. I don't know which offends me more right now. I think I'd rather take them wrapped up in the burqa than the other way. Maybe they'll come to a middle ground and a woman can wear a skirt and a blouse again sometime in my lifetime. I'm joking. Who am I to tell a woman how to dress? How dare you step on us women and tell us what to wear? We don't want to wear skirts and blouses, you radical. Okay, I'll be back for another hour. Be here or be nowhere, right? Where are you going to be without me? What are you going to do without me?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome back to Idiotic America. Welcome back to Idiotic America. Don't talk about during the Muslim holiday of Ramadan what happened over the weekend at the gay nightclub. And don't you dare connect it to Islam. Whatever you do, do not connect it at all to Islam. Omar did it. Or was it Homer? We don't even know his name anymore. Someone named Homer did it. Homer Smith did it. Nothing to do with Islam. Just a deranged man off his meds. And it's those darn guns. Only there were no guns, there'd be no slaughter. Okay, well, that's a good point. No books, there would be no reading. If there's no reading, there'd be no thinking. So I think they ought to ban books, because then you could actually learn to think for yourself and read history, and you know who Obama really is. New York Times editorial, Congress should suspend Second Amendment with a secret court. I can't make this up. Liberals again are calling for fascism and Nazism. A New York Times editorial advocates for a new law allowing a secret court to take away citizens' right to own a gun at the discretion of the federal government. So they want a no-gun list, a no-buy list similar to a no-fly list. Under the law that this moron at the New York Times wants written, suspected terrorists, that would be you, me, anyone they want to call a terrorist, would not be able to buy a gun. So the author proposes that people only be added to this no-buy list after a secret court rules that they're ineligible. It would be similar to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, turning it on the American people. So who wrote this? Let's see the person's name. Adam Winkler. Adam Winkler, another liberal, a UCLA School of Law professor. Winkler is as much, okay, don't get me started. This is a national show. I'm not in a bar room. Adam Winkler. Adam Winkler wants habeas corpus suspended. He wants a Second Amendment suspended. Winkler argues the secret court is a good idea because the same kind of court is already used for government surveillance. So therefore, we need this violation of rights. He said if the attorney general believes a suspected terrorist should be added to the list, she should have to go to court first and offer up evidence. Winkler writes. Winkler. Now, who gave this idiot with a law degree, this putz at UCLA, this moron who's ashamed to his family's name, the right to come up with such a violation of our Constitution? There ought to be a law, but there is no law against stupidity. You know, stupidity is a greater threat to us than terrorism. Stupidity from people who are this evil in their brain is a greater threat to America than our guns. The court proceedings would be secret and have no clear path to appeal. That's what liberals now want. This is what you want. Is you want courts now to decide the fate of your life? This is what happens when you have a rogue government. I try to warn you in Government Zero, but you didn't pay attention. I try to warn you in Stop the Coming Civil War, but you didn't pay attention. I try to warn you in Countdown to Mecca, but you didn't pay attention. I try to warn you who Obama was. He is a lawless rogue president. He is surrounded by lawless rogues at every level. WSBA Radio, Rick, you're the first caller of the day. Rick, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'm partly responsible for Obama being in office twice. I voted for him both times, so I take responsibility for that, but I think the man ought to be impeached.
Why did you vote for him the second time knowing that he was a phony and a danger, a threat to our very survival? Why did you vote for him the second time?
Excuse, Michael, it's just sheer stupidity. I'll rack it up to that, but he ought to be impeached because...
No, come on, let's get into the... I really want to get into the mindset, the zeitgeist of why you would vote for a man who, after 4 years, you knew who he was. It's not like the first time around he was able to pull off a con. He was very sincere looking in the beginning. I was somewhat hoodwinked by him. And he said, we're going to have the most transparent administration, and there's this, that, that. So he did everything opposite to what he said. So why would you vote? It was it because Romney was worse?
Yeah, I didn't want to vote for Romney, that's for sure. But and that's no excuse either. He's just been...
First part of the word, poor. Robert caught it. He's the expert at catching dirty words. Rick, what do you or did you do for a livelihood?
I was just a common laborer until I had to go on disability about back in 92.
To me, there's no such thing as a common laborer because there's nothing common about laboring.
Well,
anyway, let's put that aside. In other words, the man who works with his hands knows an awful lot about reality. He knows what it's like to get up in the morning dead tired, his body aching, and still having to schlep himself to work to a work site for 8 hours a day. That's not too common in a society where people are disconnected from labor and from production. They don't even know what they're producing. They sit in the cubicle all day looking at internet pornography most of the time.
Well, not me, because I was working at a steel plant.
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to send you a gift, Government Zero. Thank you for that call. Days after Orlando massacre, Obama says ISIS is on the defensive. Duh. The ISIS terrorist group is on the defensive, U.S. President Barack Obama said, just days after deadly shooting on a gay nightclub. Obama on Tuesday said the Islamic State group was losing ground in Iraq and Syria. Yeah, right, okay. All right, he's living in his own world. Obama said after a meeting of the National Security Council, in short, our coalition continues to be on offense. ISIL is on defense, Obama said. Again, sporting terminology. It's all he knows is sporting terminology. Using an alternate acronym for the group. Why do they use the word ISIL instead of ISIS? Why? So you can confuse it. It has nothing to do with Islam. I think what they want to do is take the I out of the acronym altogether and just call it SIL or SIS. SIS, I got it. Instead of ISIS, they should call it SIS. No, that would be offensive to women. What, the sissies? We can't do that, sorry. That would be a slur on sissies. But they need to drop out the I out of the acronym because I says Islam, you can't make that connection. ISIL. But that still means Islamic State. It's not the Jewish state. It's not the Christian state. It's not the Buddhist state. It's not the Hindu state. It's not Heysel. It's not Kaisel. It's not Beisel. It's ISIL, Islamic State. It has something to do with Islam. That's what they say. I mean, they're very serious men. They're real serious guys, and they say it has to do with Islam. But according to Obama, they're on the run. Tell that to the Kurds and the others who are fighting them, that they're on the run. Why is it taking so long? World War II took less time. What a commander-in-chief. This guy is really great. Hey, with Dianne Feinstein in Senate Intelligence, Jay Johnson in Homeland Security, and Obama's commander-in-chief, the war goes on. The war goes on. World War II was fought in less time. Somehow we won. Yeah, I know. You have every excuse under the sun. They don't even have an Air Force or a Navy. They have no armored nothing on the ground except the tanks that we gave them when they conquered territory in Iraq. They took all of our Abrams. Where are those tanks? Well, they sell them on the open market somewhere. Someone's got them in a collection in a barn in Italy. They stole our tanks. They're giving our tanks. The greatest tanks in the history of the world. They put him away in some bunker somewhere. I'm surprised they haven't been appearing on Amazon for sale. I'd like to buy one. It'd be nice to have in my garage, be added to the collection, my car collection. Buy an Abrams tanks direct from Syria. You provide the transportation. With this government, could be the government provides the transportation to pick up a few extra dollars. Look, they got to get money wherever they can to bring in the refugees. That wouldn't be bad. They could sell the Abrams tanks to American collectors and use the money to bring in Syrian males of military age. That's a nice trade-off. Could you play a white sport coat and a pink carnation? Because I'm getting batty from the tension already. It's crazy. The whole thing's crazier by the day. Lunatics. Are they on medication? Or they're just stupid, or they're working for the other side? What is this?
I'm all dressed up for
all dressed up. I don't get into my mind. Dressed up. Cross-dressing. I don't want to go there.
And a pink carnation.
I feel as though I'm living in an alternate reality from Obama. Here we have Feinstein, the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, making the stupidest statement in the history of the world. Stupidest, next to Jay Johnson, the head of Homeland Security, says, not we have to crack down on the sleeper cells, but that we need to build bridges to them. And no guns. And Obama's the best, of course. He gives a speech that's crazier than all. And that has to be clip 20. Let's hear clip 20 again, Robert, just for the fun of the listener, to hear the great leader of the Western world in clip 20.
For a while now, the main contribution of some of my friends on this side of the aisle have made in the fight against ISIL
right
is
on.
To criticize this administration and me for not using the phrase radical Islam. That's the
almost
key, they
crying.
Tell us. We can't beat ISIL unless we call them radical Islamists. What exactly would using this label accomplish?
It would
what exactly would it change?
It would define the
would
enemy.
It make ISIL less committed to trying to
we would know who the enemy
kill
is.
Americans? Would it
we know
bring
who they
in
are.
More allies? Is there
we
a military strategy
we
that
what
is
they worship
by this? The answer is none of the above. Calling a threat by a different name does not make it go away. This is a political distraction.
See, now at the end of that cut, he actually gives away his madness. I've told you I'm an expert on psychosis. And I'm, by every definition, Obama is a psychotic. I know you don't accept it. If we should survive this fool, and I don't know that we can, in time, therapists, psychiatrists, analysts will come to look back and they'll say the guy was insane. They'll say he was a psychotic, the first truly psychotic president of modern times. He just said, changing the name, what does it accomplish, blah, blah, blah. He says calling a threat by a different name does not make it go away. So he wants to change the name from radical Islam to something else. Does that make it go away? No. Then he says this is a political distraction, meaning changing it from radical Islam to something that it isn't. It's a political distraction. So he's actually telling you that he's lying about it. But he's so good at it that he doesn't even know he's lying anymore. So I think he's actually getting caught in his own lies, in his own web. I think he's actually getting caught in his own glue. The glue of his own lies is starting to adhere to him. I like adhere instead of stick. I figured I'd use a bigger word, adhere instead of stick. I'm trying to show you a higher vocabulary for the third hour. I'm shifting into high gear now, so I'm going to go to a higher vocabulary. 855-407-282. What would you want to talk about here? Cars? I've talked about everything today. I even did a thing on old Jaguars. Here's a nice story. Russian government intercepted and will release Hillary's emails. This is a great story. They hacked into the DNC, that genius from Florida, whatever, I forget, the water carrier, Wasserwoman Schultz. Debbie Wasserwoman Schultz. They hacked into the DNC's emails in Russia to get even with Hillary for calling Obama. See, she called Putin Hitler, remember? He never forgot. I'll tell you right now, Putin never forgot that Hillary called him Hitler. And Trump said he could work with him. So he knows which way the wind blows. Former KGB, runs a big country, rich guy, been there for a long time. Don't mess with him, because you can have a polonium sushi sandwich arriving by Federal Express with someone to force you to eat it. So Putin remembers who called him Hitler, and he knows it was Hillary Clinton. He also knows she's crazy, and she's crazy enough to cause a third world war, and that Trump will probably make peace with Russia, which would make sense to anyone in America. So, they hack into the DNC, they get Hillary's emails, all of them now, private emails that obtained from Hillary Clinton's email server. And this proves that Clinton allowed classified info to end up in the hands of foreign adversaries, according to the reports we're reading. So it says intelligence sources. That's an oxymoron. Intelligence sources in America. That's oxymoronic. What, Jay Johnson? Intelligence sources. That's Dianne Feinstein. How was the pasta last night, Diane? Did you and your hubby enjoy the meal? Fressing pretty good, knocking down the food? How much has your wealth increased since you became a senator? From the time you were just a mere mayor till now? What was the arc of increase? Let's see, you're making 200 grand a year over 8 years. Yeah, that's not a lot of money. So I'm like $2 million. How come it went up like $2 billion? How'd that happen? Intelligence sources are bracing for the Russian release of Clinton's intercepted emails, according to a report in the trade publication oilprice.com. So this is a big story. So the Russian government could in the near future release the text of email messages intercepted from U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's private email server for the time she was U.S. Secretary of Hate. The release would, you get what I'm saying. So it's going to turn out she released U.S. secrets to foreign interception. That's the end of her campaign. That's what she gets for calling him Hitler. It could happen. It could happen here. They better get Joe Biden off the meds and get him ready. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, there we go. Sounds already like they're on laughing gas. Yes, indeedy. Caffeine, Chevrolets, and cheeseburgers. That's what I'm on today. That second cup of coffee really works. No more fatigue. I've never seen anything like it. Hour three is like a rocket booster. It's a trick I learned, which is what people have known for about a million years. By the way, I want to thank my Arab friends for introducing coffee bean, Cafe Arabica. Thank you very much, Salam, for bringing it to the world. They did. I mean, think about it. That was in the old days when they're still getting along with the world. They brought caffeine, did well. They brought in the coffee bean from Ethiopia. They found it in the tree. It was green. The locals were using it. They got high from it. It was cheaper than cats. So they sent it overseas. The next thing you know, we're all drinking coffee. Great stuff. But the thing is, it works. They don't drink alcohol over there in the Muslim countries. All day long, sipping coffee. And you know, the Arab way of drinking coffee is very interesting. I do it myself. I put in cinnamon. They use 3-4 different spices in the Middle East. I don't know if you know that. They don't like us. They don't put milk in it. Where'd that come from? Everything in America is like milk. Like a nation of ninnies. Everything milk and coffee. What do you need milk for? Flavor it like they do with spices. Cardamom, cinnamon. It's amazing. You take a black coffee, you put a few, you know, a little bit. Not overpowering. Different spices, stir it. Delicious. And you don't get the dairy. You don't get the dairy like bloat in your eyelid. Your eyelids don't like blow up like little Michelin tubes. From a dairy reaction. All right, I'll be back. Be here. Like you're schlepping along, like nothing seems right. And then all of a sudden you feel like lifting. You're getting better. It's the weather. It's all allergies with me. The allergy, the pollen almost kills me. It's like a foreign invasion. It's like radical pollen. Radical pollinists do it to me. It's that radical pollen that always gets to me. But I've defeated my radical pollen enemy. Why? There's nothing you can do about it. I should be living in Lapland or somewhere where there's nothing but like algae. Like fuzzy things that grow, lichens. Maybe I have some ethnic background in Lapland. There's like trees. Okay, but no, there's conifers up there. I have to be like Nanook of the North and live on the ice. But how healthy can that be if you were Nanook? They lost their teeth. Now, I'm not knocking it. Hardy people, tough as nails, live on the ice, very severe environment, but your teeth gone. Teeth turn black from like from the blubber and like gnawing on the seal skin to make a hut. Knocks out the teeth. I mean, come on, be realistic. It's a tough life. You have to make a spear. The hands are like iron. Like wrapping things with like seal sinew. But, you know, there's no allergies up there on the Arctic. Maybe the Antarctic, there was no real human life down in the Antarctic. How is that interesting? Isn't that weird? Like Nanook of the North. Why not Nanook of the South? I never thought about that. How come they could survive on the ice in the North, but no populations lived in the Antarctic? It was rougher. I don't know what it was. Can't blame white people for that one, can you? I don't know. I'm just asking. It's nothing about white privilege there. I mean, they think, like, through the lens of the college student listening, it's like something to do with white privilege, did it? No, it's nothing to do with race. Somebody called KSFO Radio in San Francisco and said, can Dr. Savage give us a reference to that article on a lack of an association or an inverse association between low-density lipoprotein cholesterol and mortality in the elderly? And the answer is yes, I can. It's from bmjopen.com. That's the British Medical Journal Open.com. June 13th, 2016. Scroll down to the article on the LDL cholesterol. And the lead author is Uffe Rovsnikov. Rovsnikov and David Diamond, Rokura Hama. There are a lot of Japanese scientists involved. Tomohito Hamazaki, Jam Hamaskord, Nimhins. It's a cross-cultural study by some pretty good epidemiologists, and very important for everyone to read if they want to, you know, analyze whether they should be taking statins, because I will tell you, this is astounding. For older people now, LDL, look, I don't want to go into the whole science of it right now. You can read it yourself. It says, you won't believe this, it says high cholesterol, and therefore, high LDL may protect against cancer. Would you believe this? In other words, the very opposite of what you've been told. So by taking statins, you're actually increasing your risk of cancer, according to this study. Why? You'll have to figure this one out on your own. So I was wondering why. My body's not crazy. My LDL went through the roof last month. It was always warped. And I don't take statins. I tried them once. My legs went out. I tried them another time. Killer pain in my legs. And I know all about what you're supposed to take to, you know, but I don't like it. If my body's reacting like that, it means I shouldn't take it. And believe me, I know my body's cool. Listen to your body. Let me tell you, your body's not stupid. First of all, it's all you've got. It's smarter than anything on earth. Your body knows better than anything on earth what you should be doing. So listen to your body and you'll get a lot of answers. But the point I'm making is, why would my LDL go through the roof all of a sudden? And I figured it out after reading this article because, oh, it's too complicated for the average person. If they can't connect the fact that Obama and the government are filled with morons who are lying to them, why should they believe anything I tell them about LDL? When you listen to me, oh, you don't listen to that talk show host now. Come on now, you take those statins. No, we doctors know everything about medicine. You can't read a scientific study, but they just know exactly what the drug detailer told them to say. And everyone's on statins now. Like every child was put on Ritalin. Every child has hyperactivity. Crazy. Most of medicine is filled with crackpots, in my opinion. I've been in alternative medicine all my life. There are a lot of nuts in that field, too. Believe me, don't get me wrong. There are vitamin shysters, vitamin crooks. A lot of the vitamins you buy are completely useless garbage made by shoddy manufacturers who should be in prison. They made fortune selling you basically straw in a capsule. On Long Island, families of people made millions of dollars a month selling you garbage, duds with nothing in it. So believe me, I know both sides of that story. You got to be very careful. If you would ask me what I really practice, it's more naturopathy than anything. Of course, if I get sick, I go to a medical doctor. Really sick. I go to the hospital. They know how to treat serious illness very well. No one could do better. But when it comes to things like this, you got to start reading the science itself and draw your own conclusions. Nevertheless, I had such a good night after reading that LDL, high LDLs are actually protective, that I went out to an Indian restaurant and had meat. Everything I've avoided. All my life I've been struggling. Low cholesterol. I was horrible eating fish. I hate fish at this point. I feel like a guy has been trapped on a seafood boat for his whole life. I don't even like fish. I go into a restaurant. I want to have a steak and French fries like a Frenchman. I want to hear like accordion music. Eat French fries and a steak. But I'd be dead if I did that, I figured. So I'm not going to lurch the other way all of a sudden. Once in a while, so I have a mistake. Listen, I've known since the 70s, I wrote books in the 70s on this, that it's not cholesterol that's dangerous. It's the saturated fats. I learned that as a doctoral student at UC Berkeley in my graduate studies. Went there between 75, got my PhD in 78. We knew then that it was not cholesterol, it was saturated fats. And then we learned from the great geniuses like Linus Pauling and my friend Dr. Cathcart that it was not even the saturated fats that were occluding the arteries. It was whether or not those saturated fats oxidized inside your body. And so that's where the advent of the antioxidants came in. And people who were literally floating in high levels of antioxidants as I have been for 40 years. Vitamin C, vitamin E, all the other antioxidants were protecting themselves from atherosclerosis and other diseases because they were not permitting the saturated fats to oxidize and adhere to their walls. That was an operational theory that is still correct. And I'll tell you something else, since I'm doing health right now, I'm starting to sound, I get excited, I sound like Bernie Sanders. I gotta be careful. And I wasn't even born in Brooklyn, that's the funny part. But I start talking fast, it's a parlance, like a New York parlance. Because I can't speak slowly when my mind is moving quickly. I want to really express myself. I know many of you get offended, though. I don't sound like an American. If I start talking too much like a New Yorker, you don't think I'm an American like you. So let me slow her down a bit there. Put those brakes on it so I sound like you do. No, but seriously, the fact of the matter is, I forgot what I was talking about. No, I don't want to go into this. It's too complex. What do you want me to talk about? Health now in the middle of it with the bombs going off and people being slaughtered in nightclubs and when they're not Muslims, it's not Islam. And you want me to talk about this? Yes, why not? Because life's going to go on with or without them. Long after the genius has gone from the White House, pray to God that the election's over already. She's indicted. Once the mail comes out, she's arrested under the Foreign Intelligence Act. She's put in jail, handcuffs. Could you imagine if that actually happened? Now think about that. The Russians hacked her, DNC, they hacked into the emails, and they find that she did in fact violate federal law, and they take her out in handcuffs. Could you believe that day? So what would they do? Who are they going to run? Him? Overbite? Joe Overbiden? I don't know. He could actually do better against Trump than she could. Like two white guys fighting it out. I'm serious about that. He would do better than she would. She's despised. She's a complete construct. Women don't like her. Hispanics don't like her. No one likes her, but you think she's president already. It's a complete construct. The woman is used goods. Everyone knows that she's no good. So I'm saying if they indict her, I wonder who released her. Say the Russians hacked her? I don't know, maybe her own party hacked her, knowing she can't win. You know, that's an interesting question unto itself, the way things work. Because I know that in World War II, they did it to him in England. They removed him. The one who said, hey, well, you know, Hitler, and Hitler's my friend. I have in my hand a peace agreement. I signed the Anglo-German Accord. Everything's wonderful here. Hitler's a great guy. I come back, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. And the next day, Hitler invaded the country. So his own party, the Labour Party, threw him out because they realized that he was not a good war leader. They had to get rid of him. So sometimes parties do step in and get rid of a candidate who's not good for the survival. Certainly not of the country. Are you kidding? I don't mean the Democrats would ever put the country above their party. Please, don't misinterpret what I just said. But for the sake of their own survival as a party, I'm talking. Never mind America. It doesn't exist for them. You think Debbie Wasserman Schultz ever thought about America in her whole life? You think she was a Girl Scout? You think she saluted the flag? You think she went to the 10-Mile River Scout Camp like I did with Girl Scouts? Well, I didn't go with Girl Scouts. She went with I don't know if she ever went with Girl Scouts to 10 Mile River Scout Camp like I went with Boy Scouts. A horrible experience with sadistic boys. Horrible. I don't want to glorify those sadistic boys in it. One guy picked up an axe in the woods. I don't even want to go into that. I don't know how you glorify everything. Boy Scouts, yeah, God bless America. Nasty people. Not all of them. Scoutmaster was very nice to me. But the boys, some of them were so mean. You had to defend yourself at all times against the predators. One kid, I don't want to go in, not your business, what went on in there. In those little huts, are you kidding? Sleeping bags under the, in the pine, under the, yeah, not everyone was so nice. A lot of them were really sick. I got to tell you, a lot of those Boy Scouts were sickos. Half of them are running the government. I don't know where they are today. Probably became lawyers, worked for the Department of Justice. I don't know where the mean ones went. The good ones became veterinarians, I think. I'm looking back on all the boys I knew as a kid and who they became. Smart kids became doctors, by and large. The mean ones became lawyers. The mean smart ones became lawyers. The others became the smartest in school, the memorizers now. I'm not talking about brilliant. I'm talking about the ones who could memorize better, like they had great memories. Because to go to medical school in those days, you had to memorize like an anatomy book, a physiology book. Today, nothing. They don't even speak English. You go into a hospital speaking Urdu. Guy is looking at a wall speaking Urdu to himself. And he's your doctor. All right, hey, don't say anything. Great. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Urdu. I appreciate it. Looking at a wall, you don't know what language he's talking. They don't either. They don't know what language they're talking either, but they became a medical doctor when the minute they got here because they went to the University of Urdu Medical School. And then they passed the boards through some kind of trick. that they gave him an immediate medical degree in order to make sure they could work for Obamacare. What do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? 855-407. It's like the old Savage Nation. I'm really doing a free association that I used to be famous for. I guess I've been caffeine deprived in these recent years. I haven't had enough caffeine. So that's simple. Took one in the morning wasn't enough. I get up in the morning. The first thing I do, okay, orange juice, then coffee. That's a, like a ritual. And I'm starting to say, why don't I go out for breakfast like a normal person? People have like leisure and money to go to breakfast because everything is served in a restaurant I don't eat. I'm not going to have eggs and bacon in the morning. I'd rather have coffee and juice at home and go to work and do my show. So I don't go out for breakfast. Then lunch comes. I don't go out to lunch because I'm on the radio from 12 to 3 on the West Coast. So my lunch is shot. So I'm eating out of a carton. And my assistant goes out and gets me some like garbage I'm eating from a Japanese restaurant. You give a sliver of fish. Yeah, teriyaki salmon. It's like a sliver of my pinky. They wouldn't get away with that in New York. Food, no one knows food. I got to say, don't let me get started on this. I'm a food lover, and I know food. I'm obsessed with it. I cannot get food that I can eat on the West Coast, and I've been here 45 years. Sometimes, once in a while, okay, certain restaurants I go to. I'm giving an example, supermarkets. They don't even know how to wrap food here. I send an assistant out $49 a pound for smoked salmon. The idiots roll it up in a tight ball. You can't even separate the slabs of lox. They're connected. And it's dried out. You know, here it is. Norwegian smoked salmon. What, are you crazy? In New York, they would attack the deli man. There'd be a terrorist attack. If a deli man ever tried to sell out of New York, there'd be like a nightmare would be going on in that deli. No matter what deli I go to, I can name the market. 49 a pound, 39 a pound, garbage. You ever try to get sliced turkey in the San Francisco area? Forget about it. Dogs eat better. It's not sliced turkey. It's like sliced rubber. Every week, okay, so, okay, I'll pay a little more. Tell you what, I don't want the oven gold, which is filled with dextrose and injected with water and air to trick you like you're an idiot. Like you can't taste the difference. It's like eating cardboard. I have a cardboard sign in my office that would taste better than the turkey in the supermarkets that I go. So I say, okay, go to that market and pay more for the roasted turkey. He brings me home roasted turkey that's drier than my sandal after walking in a desert. How do they sell stuff like this and not get arrested? Because the people are idiotic in the Bay Area. They're stupid. They don't know food. They don't know politics. They know from nothing. I don't know. You look at Feinstein and Boxer and Pelosi. They're still in office. Yeah, the same thing with the lox and the turkey. They're about on the same level. Dried out and tasteless. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You would think that the gay community would wake up, but no, now they're saying that it's homophobia that caused the slaughter, and that evil xenophobes are using the slaughter of gays to block all the admissions of Muslims. It's beyond belief. I mean, you know, there's only so much that could happen in a world until you just throw your hands up and say, people will never learn. Never. There are serious mental illnesses in the world, and liberalism is perhaps the most serious and most untreatable of all mental illnesses is liberalism. Of course, refugee immigration is at fault for the Orlando massacre. Of course, we need to ban Muslim refugees. We must. Everyone knows that. And if you think I'm alone and you think this is xenophobia, well, you know what? You're wrong. A majority of Americans in the latest Reuters poll, and they're very left-wing, want a temporary ban on all Muslims coming into America, including Muslims. Most Muslims don't want Muslims to come here because they're not the same Muslims as the Muslims that were here. We're getting totally different people coming from the Middle East than the Muslims who have integrated into America. Why would they want them here? Why would Hispanics who have been here 100, 150 years want this crop of illegal aliens from Honduras? Why? They don't.